I'm going to say a verse in German, John 3:16. Denn so sehr hat Gott die Welt geliebt, dass er seinen eigenen Sohn gab, damit jeder, die an ihm glauben, nicht verloren geht, sondern ewiges Leben hat. That's John 3:16. In 1 Thessalonians, if you will, if you're there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, let me get there as well. I've been talking, I haven't got there. If you would, please stand in reverence to the Lord of God. I would read the first 10 verses, sorry, and then we'll go from there, okay? Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. Verse number 8, far from you, you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith is to Godward and spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The title of the message is found here in these passages of Scripture in verse number 5. In verse number 5, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Okay, and so that's the message. The title is not in word only. Okay, and so this is a wonderful way to look at missions. I feel like that with missions, our mission there is the same thing you do. We just tell people about Christ. We use the opportunities God gives us to tell people about the Lord Jesus. And that's what's happening here in this passage of Scripture. Paul is writing this and reaffirming how to witness and take advantage of those opportunities. Witnessing should be important to every Christian. It should be an important thing. And I'll say this, because this is what I think about when I think of witnessing. I think about the person that witnessed to me. And so when you think about your own salvation, if you'll think about just for a moment your salvation, and how thankful you are, I hope you're thankful that someone told you about Christ. Sometimes I know when you're young, you may not think this way. We have a lot of young people here. So I got saved when I was 14 years old. How many of you in here are 14 years old? Anybody 14? Okay, it's a couple people 14. I got saved when I was 14, 1980, and I was going to a vacation Bible school. I didn't grow up in church. My family were not church people. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. My dad was an alcoholic, and our home was not a good place to be most of the time. And so then in 1980, the Lord saved me. And then 2 years later, the Lord saved my dad. And so our home greatly changed after the Lord saved him, 1982. And so I'm thankful that a lady took the Bible on a Thursday night at a vacation Bible school and shared the gospel with me. And so that helps me. That gives me an incentive, that gives me a reason to share the gospel. Because I think about, if she didn't share it with me, then I don't know if I would have been saved. Growing up in that type of environment, it's not an environment that's a nice environment. And so it could have been very possible that I'd never have gotten saved. And so I'm thankful that someone took the time and shared the gospel with me. And so I'm telling you that because I think it's very important for all of us. The Scripture tells us time and time again that it's our responsibility to tell other people. As a matter of fact, if you go through the Scriptures, you know the Great Commission in Matthew 28. He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples. And then John chapter 17, where Jesus is preaching the high priestly prayer for us, he says, Father, I sent them like you sent me, I've sent them. And so there's continual passages of Scripture that deal with that, that you and I have been commissioned. In Corinthians, it talks about we being ambassadors for Christ, that We're to do the witnessing in his place. We're to be ambassadors. And then he gives also that he says in Acts 1:8, we're to go to uttermost parts of the world and preach the gospel when we have the Holy Spirit. And so there's lots of admonishments in the scriptures to talk about the gospel. And so the first one here I want to share with you, and I just want to be a few minutes and share a couple of things with you. The first one is in word. Now, and it says here not in word only, but understand something. You cannot witness without the word. Okay? Someone once used to say, this is going around for a long time, lifestyle evangelism. Well, that's just an excuse not to speak up for Christ. And so, but lifestyle evangelism has gotten a bad rap because you do need to live a lifestyle that evangelizes. Okay? And so that's there. But you have to tell people what the Bible says. And that's the power's in the word. The power's in the word of God. And so the story must be told. If you look at 1 Peter 3:15 with me, we've got a few verses here. But look at 1 Peter 3:15. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So every one of us, it's not just for preachers, it's not just for evangelists, not for just for missionaries, it's for every one of us. Be ready always to give a man an answer for the hope that we have. And you know, it's like this. If you and I don't do it, then who will do it? There is no one else to tell. There's no one else to tell the lost people. You have people in your life that no one else can reach. You have co-workers that no one else in this church may ever reach. You have a neighbor that no one else can ever reach. As a matter of fact, a lot of the people you see in the slides that we showed, those people, they were our neighbors. And we won them by talking to them and by living for them a certain way. And they were influenced by us. And so oftentimes the people you're able to win, no one else can. And so think about the responsibility God's given you. God's given you an awesome responsibility as a Christian to witness to other folks. And so not only in word, but also in power. Look what he says if you back in 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 1, verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. You know, that's the thing I was talking about this morning at the church we were at this morning, that the power that God gives us as a Christian, he gives. What does Acts 1:8 say? Acts 1:8 says we've been given power to be witnesses. And so what Paul is talking about here is we not only did we witness to you in word, but we witnessed to you in power. The Holy Spirit empowered us to witness to you. God's given you that ability to witness to other people. As a Christian, you have that ability to witness where others do not. Look at it, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now that word grieve means to make sorrowful or disappoint. And so I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit of God is in each and every believer here tonight. And he wants to be able to empower you to witness for him. But if we grieve him, if we make him sorrowful, or if we disappoint him, then he cannot work through our lives. And then he goes on to describe what that means, okay? He says, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Those are some prerequisites of being filled with the Spirit. When I say filled, I mean being completely controlled by the Spirit. And being directed by the Spirit. You know, we're to be controlled by the Spirit. And so, not only did Paul say we came to you not in word only, in word, but we came to you also in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, and here's the main thing I want to share with you, back in the, if you look back there again one more time at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look, if you will, again to verse 5, one last time. This is one of the most important of all three. Well, they're all three very important. All three cannot be obtained without the. But actually, verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know, what manner of men We were among you for your sake. So thirdly, our manner of life. Okay, how you walk. It's so important. You can preach the gospel. You can ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't walk what you talk, people are not going to believe you. They're not going to accept what you have to say. And there, the proof's in the pudding, so to speak. You know, you know that before. Or your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And so that is a biblical principle. Paul says, hey, we lived our salvation in front of you. We lived, you knew what kind of men we were, and you chose to follow us. You see, what a great testimony to have as a Christian. For someone to know your testimony, know how you live, and say, I chose Christ because of you. You were an influence in my life. We have a lady in our church that when she gives her testimony, she says, every time she testifies, she says, I watched the Shipman family and I realized there was something they had that I wanted. Wonderful testimony to hear someone say that. That someone, they watch someone. I'm telling you, someone's watching you all the time. You might not think so, but they are. Someone's always watching you. Everywhere you go, someone's watching. And so this day and time, ever so important that we live our Christianity in a way that we back up what we say, how the Lord tells us here. Manner of men, he says. This is the idea, the only way, the best way to glorify the Lord, of course, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And John 10:25 talks about that. But let me say this. Faith alone saves, but faith that saves is never alone. Now, that's not something that I came up with. Someone else came up with that. But I don't know where I got the quote from, but think about it just a minute. Faith alone saves, and we would all preach that. We would all say, hey, you can't get saved. Hey, Ephesians 2:8-9 says that, right? For by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. But let me say this, that faith that saves is never alone. James confirms that over and over in the book of James. In other words, you're saved, there'll be something that shows that you're saved. There'll be some kind of evidence of your saving faith. And so that's what he's talking about here when we walk a certain way. Look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, back again where we were at. We'll read a couple of verses, then we're going to close. Chapter 1, verse 8. We read down through verse 10 at the beginning. But look at verse 8. Notice here, far from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith is to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Well, they had a wonderful testimony, their faith there in that situation. For they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you. He's talking again about what he see there in verse 5, his manner of life, his walk. And then he says, and how ye turned to God from idols. You see, that's what salvation is turning from idols to a living God. Turn to God from idols to serve. Notice these active things to serve the living God, living and true God. And then verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven. Those are some wonderful indications of being born again. That you turn from your old way to a new way. You're not serving idols anymore. Other things are, like he said just a moment ago, that they grow strangely dim, these things in this world. And then we turn, not only that, we start serving Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, talks about his becoming a servant. He became a servant for us. And so that is an indication that we are a Christian when we serve others, when we love the brethren. And then he says that you're waiting, what? Waiting for that return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we love his appearing, the Bible talks about that being an indication of being born again. These men had a manner of life. They have a quality about them, a sort about them. They brought forth what? They brought forth the turning from idols, the repentance. They brought forth serving the living God, a service. And they brought what? To wait on the return of Christ. And so let me ask you this. Are you using these things to witness to others? That's a wonderful thing to think about. We need to witness to others with word and power and of manner of life. Those three things are something you should remember when you witness to people. And you can have an opportunity maybe to witness. I think about how to witness. There's many different ways. We were doing some door knocking yesterday, and just about every door gave us opportunity to speak and talk a little bit to people. But there's many different ways to open up the conversation to talk about Christ. But I think about the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures, how he used his own conversion to witness to people. How often did he, you know, you talk about the conversion in Acts chapter 9 when Paul was born again, but then he uses it in different places in the Acts after that to witness to people. He used his, he described his conversion in the synagogues to the Jewish people. Then he used his conversion to try to win over King Agrippa. Remember that in Acts chapter 26? And so that's a wonderful instep, a wonderful way to start witnessing is using your personal experience, your personal testimony. And it gives you an opportunity to start the conversation, talk about what happened to you. I would say probably that a lot of the German folks know my testimony very well. I give my testimony often in church services there in Germany because I want them to do the same thing. I want them to use their testimony to tell others. And so that's one of the things that no one can refute. Many people will try to refute the Bible with you and say, oh, that Bible doesn't mean that there. That scripture means something else. That means that that's an allegory. That doesn't really mean that. We have a lot of that in Germany. The Germans think that the Bible is not to be taken literally. And so they've been taught that it's an allegory. It's just stories. It's just principles to live by maybe or something. But when we talk, when we try to share the scriptures and let them know that the Bible is God's living word and that we believe it word for word and everything it says. And so we use that as an opportunity to share with them about how, you know, your salvation experience, how you can incorporate that into there. And so my question to you tonight is, how's that going? You know, how are you witnessing? Is it giving you the opportunities? These three things are great things to use to witness. And so I'm going to go ahead and close in a word of prayer and turn it back over to Pastor and let him close out as he sees fit.